All right, tonight we're going to talk about spiritual maturity. And Father God, I just thank you that you have their attention now. And as the word goes forth, Father God, just let it go into a heart that's already prepared to receive your word. And let it go into their spirits, Father God. And whenever they hear the word, let it produce fruit. And Father God, whatever they're going through, when they leave this place tonight, I am believing with every fiber of my being that they're going to be free from it. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you call yourself the Remnant Church. You go out there bragging about what a great warrior you are, but you're still in bondage. Something wrong with that picture, isn't it? That picture isn't right. And I think we need to find out ourselves what's wrong with your picture and find out why you are not a warrior and why you're not fighting so that other souls can be set free. All right, spiritual maturity. Now, I'm teaching out of John Ramirez's book. The year 2020 was an epic year in all of our lives for everyone around the world. It was even bigger and more dramatic than 9/11 in terms of global impact. Please understand I am not diminishing the terrorist attack that happened on September 11, 2001. It was heartbreaking, but 2020 was a year of unpredictable circumstances. Leading up to that momentous year, we heard leaders and many others jumping around talking about 2020 and 2020 vision. I guess we missed it because the reality was far from when COVID-19 hit. This virus affected the world in unprecedented ways. Hospitals, nursing homes, churches, ministries, jobs, careers, and families, all the way up to the White House, were impacted. Now, in 2021, as I write this, we are banking on another year, thinking that things are going to change just because the calendar year changed. It is not that the calendar year needs to change. It is our spiritual attitude that needs to change. The good news is that we are motivated to pray like never before. If you would pray more and play less, you would be further along in God. You really would. If you notice, the prophetic words that God's given me to put out there are different than we've ever had before. It's because we're in a different dispensation of time. And God is talking into the time frame we are in. John said we are facing massive challenges. Let's just stop there. Let's just talk about, you know, these little gummy bears or the vegetable things we're having us eat. You know, the vegetables and the fruits. You know, I used to watch the Jetsons. And all they ate, took a pill and went on, right? They didn't do no cooking, no nothing. Flew around in their little saucers. And I told my kids at that time, you know, Teresa and them, I said, you know, one day we're going to do this. We're just going to take a pill and go on. I really think that's where they're taking us to. Have you thought about that? They're starting with the vegetables and the fruits, and now they're making false chicken. And, you know, I really believe there'll come a day when we won't even, you saying, no, it's not true or what? All right. You know, if you really look at, see, this is the trouble. You're too busy playing around and you're not paying attention to what's going on in the world around about you. And I'm hearing God said the world's about ready to bust wide open. And I've told you to be prepared and you're not prepared for what's coming. And therefore, it's going to knock you off your feet. All right. But, you know, one day, you know, everybody's about buying these jars of pills, right? Vegetables and fruits. And next thing you know, we'll be taking a little piece of meat in a pill and this and that and the other. And we won't have any food. You watch and see. All right. John says, my question to you is, how is your foundation? Always remember, when it comes to the storms of life, either you're in one now, or one is headed your way, Alan, or you're coming out of one. All right? Matthew 5:45b says, he causes his sun to rise on the sun, is S-U-N, on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Pain is in is if but thank you. But misery is optional. Pain just gonna come. Your problems are just gonna come. You just can't, just because you're born again doesn't mean you're in some land out there zooming around in the air. You're still living on the earth and you're still going through. Jesus did. He found his mountain, though. He went to the mountain to pray, is what I'm saying. He found his mountain when he was in trouble. And he went to that mountain and he talked to his father, and his father encouraged him and sent him forth again. We can pick and choose. I cannot control when the storms of pain will come into my life, but I can choose not to be miserable. Hello. I cannot control when the storms of pain will come into my life, but I can choose not to be miserable. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. That's you. Foundation is Jesus. And anything in the world can hit you, and it's not going to knock you out of Jesus' foundation. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. If you're always wanting people to stroke you, you're on sand. You're not on solid rock. And the devil's going to come and laugh at you. He has such a good time with you. You're so silly, you don't even know you're entertaining the devil. He just does all kind of dumb stuff to you, and you dance to his drum beat, and he's sitting there, look what I did. Look, everybody look what I'm doing with them. And if everybody's not looking, you make sure you draw a lot of attention. So then everybody can see the devil making a fool out of you. Are you understanding this? It's exactly the way it works. Jesus is telling us here that even though the storms may slam against the house is you, you will be secure as long as you are grounded in him. Are you a Sunday Christian talker, or are you built on the word of God to stand in the face of adversity and storms that crash against your house? The house is you. As I said before, we all missed it. No one saw the COVID-19 storm coming, the pandemic storm, the civil unrest storm in the streets of every city in the United States, the political drama storms. We need an incredible, unshakable foundation. If you're really walking with God and you're really hearing God's voice, he's going to warn you beforehand what's going to come across this land. And then you will not be shaken. No one can predict when storms will come except for God. Excuse me. It is not about going through the storm and battle. It is about growing in it. And a lot of you don't grow in your battles. You really don't. The devil just chops you right down. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants from his church. He wants us to grow in our battles. You know, Jesus lets the storms come our way, you know. Yet if you read your word and understand your word, the enemy can't do anything unless God gives him permission. And everything you go through, it's testing you to show the enemy that you're not going to leave God. That's what your tests are all about. Read Job. That's what it tells you. John said, let me give you today's broadcast for the weather and the spiritual atmosphere. Today in my life, every day and all day, God reigns and the sun shines. S-O-N. This should be your weather and the spiritual climate of your life. Also, as a believer, in our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's your weather forecast? Today in my life, every day and all day, God reigns and the sun shines. S-O-N, shines. That should be your broadcast. You should get awake in the morning and tell the devil, this is my weather broadcast for today. And then get out of bed and let him start his trip with you. Because he's waiting for your feet to hit the floor. And then he's going to chase you like you never knew before, right? How many of you know that's true? And how many of you have even said, God, give me one day of rest? But I guess that rest is be when we go to heaven, right? Proverbs 10:25 says, when the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. Either you are a phony Christian or you are a believer in the good, the bad, and the ugly of life. Now listen to that. Either you're a phony Christian or you are a believer in the good, the bad, and the ugly of life. In other words, you just know that everything that comes down the pike could hit you. That God, he is with you and he is protecting you, but the enemy, he lets the enemy do so much to you. In my life, he can't kill me. Oh, death, where is your sting? You know, but he can do everything else he wants to. We're being tested every day. And I'm sorry, but Jesus didn't get any rest either. So what makes you think you can get rest? You know, and Jesus even had to walk everywhere, didn't he? You can drive. I know there's somebody in here doesn't like to hear about the goodness of God, but you need to know about the goodness of God, because if you don't know about the goodness of God, you're going straight to hell. God just wanted me to put that out there. All right, let's listen to this. A Tale of Three Pots. This is a good story. Listen to it. There is a story told about a young lady who was going through great hardship in life. She bounced from one storm to another. One day she sat down with her father, who was a chef, and shared her heart about the things that were going on in her life one after another, nonstop. He sat and listened to his daughter unveil her heart. After she was finished, he put three pots on top of the hot, it should be stove, filled each pot with water and brought them to a boil. As the water, that should be water, water boiled, no words were spoken. He then put a carrot in one pot, an egg in another, and ground coffee beans in the third pot. Later he turned his stove off and said to his daughter, "What do you see?" He pulled out the carrot, the egg, and the coffee. He asked his daughter again, "What do you see?" She looked at him perplexed. "What is your point, Dad?" Doesn't that sound like Rachel? The father responded, "The carrot went in hard, they came out soft. The egg went in fragile and came out hard. And the ground coffee beans came out strong with a rich flavor." "So what is the point of this story?" the daughter repeated. He exclaimed that each one faced the same temperature of the boiling water. And then he added, "The carrot went in strong and relentless, and after facing the hot water, it came out soft and weak. The egg went in fragile, and after facing the same hot water, it came out hard. The ground coffee beans went in the same hot boiling water, but changed the water, and came out strong." We're supposed to change the atmosphere. All right. When adversity knocks on your door, which one are you? Are you the pea, the egg, or the coffee? Grounds. Think about that story. It's your spiritual climate. Israel fell repeatedly into spiritual decline, just as most of us do in different seasons of our lives. Read that again. Israel fell repeatedly into spiritual decline, just as most of us do in different seasons of our lives. They fell. That's what I'm getting at. What John's getting at. There was times they couldn't stand, all right? We forget to keep spiritual consistency in every season that we walk with the Lord. Look at the story of God's people, the Israelites, in 2 Chronicles 28:19. The Lord had humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had promoted wickedness in Judah and had been most unfaithful to the Lord. The king of Assyria came to him, but he gave him trouble instead of help. Ahaz took some of the things from the temple of the Lord and from the royal palace and from the officials and presented them to the king of Assyria. But that did not help him. In his time of trouble, King Ahaz became even more unfaithful to the Lord. How many of you are doing that? In your times of trouble, in your times of hardship, in your times of pain, you become more unfaithful to the Lord. It was not the attack the Lord was worried about with Israel, or with you and me, as God can deliver us from any attack. The Lord's concern for Israel was their spiritual condition. The same is true for us. How is our spiritual foundation? I want you to really meditate on, think about it. How is your spiritual foundation? We will always have storms in our walks with the Lord. Where will you build your house, on the rock or on the sand? Some of you have built it on the sand, and tonight God wants you to reverse that and build it on the rock. In so doing, you'll become a disciple of the Most High, and I will use you to bring the harvest in. The entire chapter hangs on this one thought, so do not miss it. Your greatest defense against raging storms is your foundation in Christ. Storms will either expose us or make us grow. Bitter. Storms will either expose us or make us grow. We'll either become bitter or we'll become better. Too many in the house of God have become bitter, blaming God for all the troubles when all the time it was them making their own troubles because they weren't walking with God. They didn't have a sure foundation. They were walking on sand, and the enemy was able to come and pull you right off of your foundation. Israel's spiritual temperature and their response determined the outcome of their battles. You're Israel right now tonight, all right? Determine the outcome of your battles. There are two things that either afflict you or strengthen you: the direction you take and the decision you make going into battle or storm. Let's read that again. There are two things that either afflict you or strengthen you. Number one, the direction you take and the decision you make going into a battle or storm. This is why God said we should walk in the Spirit at all times, because God will warn you beforehand that a storm is coming, and He will even tell you what the storm is all about, and then at that point, you can determine how you're going to go through that storm. But see, because we don't listen to God's voice, we're too busy listening to the things of the world, God can't warn us, so here comes this battle, and it just beats us to death. Then we say, God, where were you? No, where were you when God was trying to speak to you? All right? Ever since I started really walking, you know, being born again and new, hearing God's voice, God has always forewarned me of things that were going to happen in my life. Always. I've never gone into a storm blindfolded. Well, maybe that's a wrong statement, because when I got married a second time, I said, God, why didn't you tell me that I was going to go through this? And He said, because you wouldn't have gone through it. You wouldn't have taken the assignment, and I needed you to take the assignment. So I went into that a little bit blindfolded, didn't I? And I told him it wasn't fair. But then nothing's fair, because you are not your own. You know that, don't you? You are here on this earth to serve God, to save souls. You're not here to be blessed. You're not here to, you know, to run around here and be all pompous and everything else. You are here as a servant of the Most High God. He wants to use your vessel to save the souls that are lost and dying out there. Some of you sitting in here tonight, you were lost at one time. And God sent somebody who paid the price to you, to minister to you, to try to pull you up out of the miry clay. You know, some of you in here tonight are here because God's trying to pull you up out of the miry clay. He's trying to get your attention, say you're going the wrong direction, and if you would die right this second, you wouldn't go to heaven. You just wouldn't go to heaven. And why do people think that's offensive? I just soon tell somebody, nobody ever told me, I went to church all my life, nobody ever told me that I could end up in hell. They didn't even tell me there was a hell. It wasn't until I was born again I realized there's a heaven and a hell. And I realized there was a Jesus who would talk to you. Now, I can about guarantee that everybody in here didn't know that at first. But somebody had to teach you. And the people who teach you are the people who have paid the price, who have really given up their life so that God could use them to minister to you. So in turn, what's the Bible say? Freely you have received, so freely you give. So whatever somebody God has allowed to happen in your life, then you are supposed to give that into somebody else's life. Isn't that right, Catherine? Say amen, thank you. She's nodding her head up and down. All right. Either you stay faithful to Jesus or you become unfaithful and bitter when you come out of the storm and are out of the battle. One time I said, "But God, what about me?" He said, "What about you? What about you? What are you in this for?" And I had to tell him the honest truth. I don't know. You know, that's when he revealed to me I was in here to save souls. And some of you don't know why you're in here either. You know, but now you know, right? It's to save. It's not about you. Did you ever hear Jesus say, "Well, what about me, God?" He never said that. That we heard. I don't know what he said on the mountain. But, you know, he just went out there and he did what he had to do. And he won souls. His word is still winning souls. The cross is still winning souls. What are you winning? You know, many times I wanted to give up. I always want to close the doors of this church because I feel like, good Lord, I'm speaking to the walls. And the walls aren't even changing, right? And then somebody will write me an email or somebody will come in and they'll say, "You just don't know what this church has done for me. I'm so glad you're here." Just one little person. And that gives you the oomph to keep on going, you know, to keep on going. It doesn't matter if the people you minister to all the time aren't changing. Somebody heard a message and it changed their life. All right? And people all over the world are listening to our messages and writing back saying how their lives are being changed. All right. If, you see, I have that in parentheses, your house is built on the rock of Jesus Christ, choose spiritual strength so you will have a spiritual life in Jesus. Either you can choose to let affliction frustrate you, oppress you, and shorten your spiritual life, or you can choose strength and come out victorious. Yay! Well, I just, as we were singing every time, he said, "Yay!" Everybody gets excited. So I said, "Yay!" Get excited. God wants you to get excited. He wants you to understand why you're here. And he wants you to understand you don't have to be built on sand. You can be built on a solid rock. Say yay, Barbara. Yay. Thank you. You're not on the microphone. It scares everybody. All right. Standing firm will make you tougher. Extend your growth. And make you more powerful to withstand the time of spiritual diversity. We'll read that again, Aaron. Standing firm will make you tougher. What's going to make you tougher? Standing firm, extend your growth, and make you more powerful to withstand the time of spiritual diversity. Which one are you, or which one do you want to become? Become spiritually stronger, not spiritually unfaithful. Come on, guys. There's more in you than what you're putting out. You have so much strength inside of you, and God just waiting for you to understand that so he can bring it forward and so he can use you. You know, whenever Deborah's flagging, she tiptoes, you know, on her tippy toes, and that's fine, you keep doing that. But what we need to do is we need to set our feet down solid on the ground and say, "Devil, this is God's ground, not yours. This is holy ground. It's not unholy ground. And my feet are anointed. My feet are holy. And I'm going to go forth on the solid ground. And I'm going to tear your kingdom down." Because that's what we're here for. All right? You have two spiritual buttons. Either faithful or unfaithful. Let the Holy Spirit push the button, not the enemy. Too many of you have been letting the enemy push the buttons. Do not look at the battle, but understand the battle and look within yourself, to assess the walk you have with the Lord. This is how you keep spiritual focus. We do not want things to afflict us, but to make us spiritually stronger. Spiritual maturity is about kicking it into gear in our walks with the Lord. Getting deliverance and conquering your deliverance is an amazing thing. Getting a deliverance and then conquering your deliverance is two different things. You can go through a deliverance and still not be delivered. And I mean, you know, the enemy leaves, but if you don't conquer that deliverance, if you don't make the enemy stay out, you wasted your time. To keep our deliverance, we need spiritual maturity and godly character. See, that's why you can't be set free. You don't have spiritual maturity and you don't have a godly character. Many believers today, including ministers, crash and burn because there's no godly character or spiritual maturity in their foundations. We get our deliverance only to find out later that we built it on the sand and not on the rock. When you went in for deliverance, you weren't on the rock. You deliverance ministers, think about this. The people come in on sand, and God's saying it's sinking sand, and they need to start maintaining their deliverance. We get our In fact, some people never understand the foundation they are standing on until there is a battle or a storm. Isn't that so true? How many, all of a sudden a storm or a battle comes and you find out you got to hurry up and get dressed, you and your spiritual armor, because you've been a little bit slack and you got to need to dress real quickly before he gets a stronghold. The battle strengthens the godly, but affliction will destroy the unprepared believer. The battle strengthens the godly, but affliction will destroy the unprepared believer. The outcome of our spiritual warfare battle is determined by how we walk with the Lord day in and day out. Read that again. Get into your spirit. The outcome of our spiritual warfare battle is determined by how we walk with the Lord day in and day out. One of two things will happen. Either we will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, or the battle, the storms, will deform us into something other than whom or what God called us to be. The greatest way to grow in terms of mercy is to have a vibrant walk with Jesus Christ. I have seen it day after day and time after time. Two people will go through the same situation. One will come out bitter, and the other will come out better. Which one are you? It is so much easier to come out bitter. It really is, because you don't have to fight. Just lay down, play dead, and the devil will do the rest. But if you come out better, that means you come out with both hands swinging and both feet kicking, and you're going to destroy the enemy. From the storms and battles of untimely death is our families, divorces, job losses. What is the difference between coming out bitter or coming out better? I'm watching some people right now that came out of their storms bitter. I mean, bitter, 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 bitter. And they're not very nice to be around. And, you know, I really had to pray hard to God to give me the grace to pray for them. I mean, because, you know, there was no reason for them to come out bitter. You know, there was none. That's the path they chose. Now they're trying to make everybody else walk that path with them. Is your foundation solid like a rock in Christ, or does it have cracks exposing you to the devil? The godly can only get better The godly can only get better when bad things happen, because they have a choice to go deeper with God. Battles and storms will always come. Always. Always, always, always. Get that down in your spirit. Growth is optional. But I choose growth with Jesus. Strengthening comes not because of what is around me, but because of what is in me. The things around me would kill me. Can't you say that? But the thing that's in you, if it's Christ Jesus, if it's a solid foundation, it's going to withstand every storm of life. Are you understanding this? You know, you young kids, you young people, you have come in to the body of Christ at the perfect timing. Because God's going to just zap you and use you mightily and with great signs, wonders, and miracles. You're not going to have to go through all the struggles that we went through, because God needs to use you now. He doesn't have another 40 years to get you prepared. He wants to use you right now, but it's your heart condition. Do you really want him to do that for you? Or are you going to continue to build on the sand? Think about this. John said, let me give you your anchor in a verse that will keep you until Jesus gets back and give you the spiritual strength you need to come out in tough times. Romans 8:28. We just mouth this all the time. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. How many of you gotten up to the God and said, what good is going to come out of this? I'm just being honest. I go through these things, these cycles. God saying there's cycles I go through. And, you know, I'm no different than you. But then I have to get my act together, and I have to tell God I'm sorry. You know, I could save myself a lot of breath if I just quit doing that kind of stuff, and I wouldn't have to repent all the time, you know. And God knows you. He knows you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. He made you. He knows exactly how you're going to react to every storm. And he knows how dumb you're going to get at times, you know. But he still loves us. I mean, my Heavenly Father loves me so much, I just can't hardly stand myself at times. You know, he's just good to me. The key words here are the called according to his purpose. The called according to his purpose. God has called you for a purpose in his kingdom. All right? So everything, he's working everything in your life that you think is bad out for your good and his glory. Getting the victory is available to those who love God. Never allow the devil to poison you with bitterness, discouragement, and unbelief. These are the enemy's arrows of affliction. And that's what my wall, that wall that was built the whole way around me, it was because of bitterness and discouragement. I had a lot of pain of the hurt people inflicted upon me. And I had that wall built, and I know some of you in here do today. You can come this far and no further. You're not going to hurt. Nobody's ever going to hurt me again. That's what I said as I built that wall. And God said, your heart has to be open to be hurt if I'm going to use you. Get this in your little spirit, you young kids. Your heart has to be out there in the open to be hurt over and over. And your best friends will do it. Your family will do it. So if you really want to be used by God, I'm throwing it out there at you. You're going to be hurt over and over and over again. But your Father is always there. He's Johnny on the spot to heal that broken heart. And you don't have to build a wall. Because I'm hearing him say he's your shield and buckler. I don't know where I'm at. All right, Matthew 4:1-11 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Who was led by the Spirit? It was the Holy Spirit that led him. Where did he lead him to? Into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted by the devil. Now, if the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, why can't the same thing be happening to you? So it says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. The tempter, you know, the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. He knew who Jesus was. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. Then the devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, Throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is also written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. The third time the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. You know, this all belonged to Jesus anyhow, but this is how the devil will do you. Jesus said to the devil, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So then what happened? Then, after these three temptations, the devil left Jesus and angels came and attended him. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And I don't say that like a lot of people just say it because they've heard it so often. But I'm telling you, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always by your side. All right, facing the three temptations. I want you to catch this in your spirit. Please do not miss this. You will be armed and dangerous if you get this. In Matthew, we see Jesus face the devil head on. This was Jesus' storm, his hot water moment when he came face to face with the enemy, and he left the battle strong. Jesus had three temptations. Notice how powerful and diabolical these three temptations were. They came right after Jesus was baptized. Remember, God the Father had spoken to Jesus just prior to his testing in the wilderness in Matthew 3:17, and a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. The Father God said these words. Now notice the first temptation of the devil. I want to stop right there. The very second that God says, This is my son or my daughter, whom I well please, the enemy is after you. And he is relentless. And he does not give up. Now notice the first temptation of the devil, Matthew 4:3. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. The devil said, If you are the Son of God. He knew who Jesus was. Jesus knew who he was. The problem with the body of Christ is you don't know who you are. And that's why he can come to you and say the things he said. He was attacking Jesus' right, the very place where God the Father had spoken to him, trying to destroy him with unbelief. Caused him to question what his Father had said and put doubt and fear in his spirit. This is what the devil was trying to do to Jesus. The devil was trying to afflict Jesus with those words, the same game he played back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Did God really say, and oh stupid Eve, you women? Come on. But this is a dagger that Jesus put in the devil's heart, causing him to flee. Three times Jesus said, It is written. You know, there's going to come days in your life that you're going to feel so defeated, all you can do is cry, and you'll just say, Devil, it is written, and that's all you'll be able to get out. But the devil heard those words, Jesus heard those words, and the angels were sent to minister to you at that very point. We will all get to a place of total abandonment, feeling total abandonment. But if you would tell the devil, it is written, God will send you his angelic host to minister to you. His means, it is established, which means it is immovable, unshakable, and non-negotiable, the word of God. All right, so when Jesus said it is written, this means it is established, which means it is immovable, unshakable, and non-negotiable, which is the word of God. That's why you should know the word, so you can throw the word at the devil. You can cuss. I have heard a lot of you cuss, but you don't know the word. That you don't know the word, and you don't put the word out there. Three times Jesus went back to the word of God, fought the devil, and destroyed his game plan. I don't care. The Bible says seven times a day, the godly will fall, but seven times a day they get back up again. They didn't stay down for the count. They got back up because they knew who they were in Christ. You always hear me say that I know that I know that I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know that I know that I know that God has called me to what I'm in doing. And if you don't know that, then you're going to get defeated. You're going to have to know that from the very depth of your soul what God's calling you to do. And then you throw it back to the devil. It is written. God has spoken. Are you understanding this? A firm foundation is how you conquer your deliverance in Christ Jesus. It is written, devil. Game over. Will you all learn that tonight? It's written, devil. Game over. Game over. You can't come back with me. You can't bring that junk back into my life. You can't use my kids to tear me down. You can't use my friends to tear me down. Game over. Amen. Now, if Jesus needed the word of God to defeat the enemy, why are you trying to fight the devil without it? If you want to be strengthened and fight the number one enemy of your soul, let's give the devil a beat down. God's word in your mouth is a fire that releases the judgments of God upon Satan's head. A wordless Christian is a powerless Christian, a no victory and not victorious Christian. This is how we do it, beloved. This is how we build an amazing foundation in Christ. Do not worry about repairing the cracks in your armor. Instead, repair the cracks in your foundation. Let me give you these three arrows to put into your quiver. Time in prayer, fellowship time with Jesus, time to worship Him. And with these, your foundation will never be moved and never have cracks or leaks again. The devil might rattle your house, rattle your brain real quick. But he will never move you from your foundation. I wish to God that was everybody's testimony in here tonight, but it's not. But I'm believing that after tonight it will be your testimony. I'm believing you're going to stand up in the devil's face and say, it is written. And I'm also believing that you're no longer going to let him pull you into his cesspool of pity party and whatever it is that he pulls you into. The devil's always, always, always going to come at you trying to find just the right thing to pull you back out of the arms of Jesus. I've told you this before, I'll tell you it again. God told me when I was first born again that I'm in a tug of war. Satan has one arm, Jesus has the other. It's up to me who's going to win this tug of war. And it's not only me, it's everybody that says they want to serve God. Immediately the enemy comes to do the tug of war thing. And, you know, sometimes, you know, in tug of war, if you get so far, they might pull you over the line. And I think sometimes that's what happens. The devil pulls so hard, he gets you to the line, but give a quick jerk and go the other way. You know, don't let him drag you over that line that takes you out of your sure foundation. I'm sorry that I bored some of you and you felt like you had to sleep through God's word. That tells me your heart's not right with God. And that also tells me that heaven's not your home. And if you want to make sure that heaven your home tonight, you need to give your heart to God 100%. You need to quit playing games, you know, and you should not be unequally yoked. You know, if you're a believer, you shouldn't be with an unbeliever. But it's totally up to you how you walk your walk. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And so there's somebody in here tonight that you know that if you was to die right this second, you wouldn't go to heaven. The altar's open. And if you know that your foundation has a crack in it, the altar's open for that. God doesn't want to repair your foundation. He wants to give you a brand new foundation. He wants you to give you a solid foundation.